it's opened Pandora's box, and it's one of the big storylines.
The box of Pandora?
Yeah, Pandora's in there, you know? and you don't want to let Pandora out. He is an MF-er to deal with, okay?
It's a she.
She's an MF-er to deal with.
She's not in the box. She owns the box.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah, buddy. What up? Yeah, I know. I love watching you laugh. In fact, it's funny that my family, how much they enjoy your giggle, too, when you laugh at the stupid shit that I say. But what's up, Chris Sims, Mike Florio? We got the joint collaboration, PFTPM, and the Chris Sims Unbuttoned. We're going to do our picks. And just to be totally real here, PFTPM picks absolutely whooped the shit out of Chris Sims' Unbuttoned picks last week. Let me just say that much. It was a disaster for me, okay? I went 4-11 straight up. You went 7-8 straight up. You were 7-7-1 against the spread. I was 5-9-1 against the spread. You won two out of the three of your best bets. You the Giants laying the whooping on the Redskins. Well done. You got the Seattle Seahawks as well. And then you lost the Dallas Cowboys. I won the Seahawks with you, but lost the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was a horrible week by me, an okay week by you. I can't imagine anybody had like a great week picking games last week, though, with all the road victories and like the upsets that way, right? I mean, make me feel better, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, 11 of the 15 road teams won their games straight up. So, right. And underdogs were 10-5 against the spread. But I felt bad about my 7-8 until I saw your 4-11. I mean, you are basically in do the opposite territory if you're going 4-11, where you make your picks and then when you're done, you just flip all of them. And you'll be far better off. I mean, think about it. You would have been 11-4 last week if you'd have done the George Costanza chicken salad on rye and a cup of tea.
Yeah, I know. The only silver lining is I feel like my breakdowns of the games were good. I just came out on the wrong end. Like, I was scared of the Eagles-Packers game. I said that the Packers would score late to win the game. And they were on the one-yard line late in the game to win the game, and it didn't happen. I mean, I thought the Browns would keep it close. I was scared that they might win, but whatever. Who gives a shit? I sucked. That's all there is to it, okay?
The message is don't I, look, I know we're supposed to encourage this kind of behavior because it drives interest in everything we have to offer, and it doesn't matter. It's not like anyone's going to listen to me anyway. If you're betting, you're still going to bet.
No, they might.
But generally, don't bet. And if you are going to bet, make sure you're not betting the money that you're going to use to, like, pay your kid's tuition or pay your electric bill. Don't use gambling as a way to supplement your income so you can pay your bills. Only if you have sufficient discretionary income that you can piss away if you choose to do so, should you bet.
Right. Like, if you have a Chateau de Mike Florio and you have money to piss away like you do, you should bet. That's right. I get it. Totally. Yes. All right. You done, Dad? You done giving everybody their gambling words
of wisdom,
Dad?
Is that not good advice? I'm being serious about it.
It was good advice.
It just shows you.
Yes.
We know what's going on, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. And we know what's going on. So,
I mean, yeah, I guess we do. Yes, I do. All right.
Well, we think we know what's going on.
Yeah, we do. Let's go. Let's get after it.
You know what would have been the best bet of the week?
Right.
That you weren't going to be on time today.
Well, yeah.
I would have bet the Chateau on that, and I should have if I could have found somebody to take the action. But no bookmaker in the world would have touched that one.
No, yeah. Bet the over on that one every week, okay? I can tell you that one, all right? All right. Let's start it off. We got an awesome one Thursday night. Rams at Seahawks. NFC West divisional battle. I mean, huge implications on this, not only for the division, the NFC seedings, playoffs, everything about it. The Rams got tore up last week. The Seahawks, of course, were rolling against the Arizona Cardinals. Go ahead, Mike. You lead this one off. Tell me what you got. Seahawks favored by 1.5, over under at 49.5 for all those out there.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll, the coach of the Seahawks, is 17-2 at home in primetime games during his time with the team. 7-1, I believe, on Thursdays at home during, or maybe Thursdays anywhere during his time with the Seahawks. And here's the big factor for me. Consider what the Rams had to do on Sunday. Consider that they fell into a 21-point hole, and they were busting their asses for the entire game to try to reclaim the lead. And it was a hard-fought game with 98 offensive snaps. And they have to turn it around, pack it up, and come to Seattle with only 3 days to recover from what they went through on Sunday. For the Seahawks, it was a fairly easy game at Arizona, and I think that is something that contributes to the feeling I already had. Look, the Rams have won the last two games against the Seahawks in Seattle. That's not getting to three.
I wouldn't think so.
You're not getting to a three-game winning streak against the Seattle Seahawks, especially in prime time against Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. They're wearing their highlighter uniforms tonight, which will blind the Rams. I think the Seahawks will win this game by at least a field goal. I see a 1.5-point spread. I'm sorry. I think the Seahawks are going to win this one, and it's going to be at least by three. I don't think it's going to be a close game down to the razor wire 1 or 2-point margin. I like Seattle in this one. This just feels like one of those nights where Seattle is going to inject itself into the conversation of best teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I would not be shocked. I mean, the thing that scares me here, first of all, Thursday night football underdogs are 4-0 at this point of the year. That's pretty unbelievable. But Mike, I know we talked about this during the week, and I think you're spot on. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of when I broke down the matchup was the fact that Seattle got to play basically a preseason game last week, and the Rams had to play a true four-quarter, oh my gosh, we got to put the pedal to the metal to try to come back and make this game competitive and have a chance to win. That takes a lot of energy out of you. The Rams' defense, a little scary right now. I do think the Bucs found a little bit of a formula last week. They played a lot of big sets on offense, Mike, a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets. Made the Rams play base defense. The Rams aren't a team that wants to get big and play that. They want to play a nickel and dime and play fast and run around, and Wade Phillips wants to create havoc that way. So that scares me, okay? The Rams' offensive line scares me against Seattle. Up there in Seattle, the Seattle Seahawks defensive line we know is better. And the Rams' O-line and running game is worse than we've seen the past 2 years, and which is really probably the biggest reason the Rams are having a little up-and-down moments on offense. So I'm with you. I'm going Seahawks 24-20. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm picking the Seahawks to win.
Yeah, I got 27-21 Seahawks, so we're on the same page with that one, which means if we're wrong, at least we'll be equally wrong.
We'll be wrong together. Okay, now we got Jags at Panthers. Oh, baby, you want to talk about a quarterback matchup? We got one for you here, the Ginsu Minshew versus Kyle Allen. Both guys have been playing really good football. Kyle Allen's 2-0. I think Gardner Minshew's, 2-1 at this point with his sole loss to the Texans in that game there. Jaguars on the road at the Panthers. Panthers favored by 3.5, over and under at 41, excuse me.
Yeah, and here's what I like here. Yeah. It's not about the quarterbacks, it's about the running backs. Leonard Fournette, the 4th overall pick in the 2017 draft, and Christian McCaffrey, the 8th overall pick that same year. McCaffrey, the NFC's offensive player of the month for September. Gardner, the Ginsu Minshew, though, the NFL's offensive rookie of the month for September. But I think it comes down to those running backs. Leonard Fournette's going to have to do something close to what he did just a few days ago in order to get the Jaguars over the top in Carolina. I think the Panthers are tough to beat at home. And look, they've got a healthy quarterback now. And even though Kyle Allen isn't as good as Cam Newton, a healthy Kyle Allen is better than an injured Cam Newton, who was grossly inaccurate, especially in that Week 2 loss to the Buccaneers the last time the Panthers played at home. They're 0-2 at home this year. Allen has never started a home game. He's got 3 wins and 3 starts all on the road for the Carolina Panthers. Right. This one, to me, is going to be close. I like it 24-20 Carolina, which means I like Carolina both straight up and against the spread, but not by very much. I don't have a lot of confidence in this one, but I think the Panthers find a way to win it because of McCaffrey. I expect him to be more likely to have a big game, and I also expect the Carolina defense to play well at home.
Well, I'm with you there. The Carolina defense is special. It's 4th in football, okay? It's one of the best pass defenses in all of football, okay? So I look at it like that, and I go, ooh, I don't know if Gardner Minshew is going to have a lot of success throwing the ball. But they're not trying to throw for 350 yards and do that. The one thing that concerns me a little bit, you talked about Leonard Fournette as far as the Jacksonville Jaguars. Carolina, you know, as far as run defense is concerned, let me just make sure I got it here. Is 24th in football. So they've let up some yards running the football. That scares me a little bit. But I think overall, I still like the matchup of Kyle Allen. I think Kyle Allen and the Carolina Panthers offense will be able to create more than Gardner Minshew and the Jags on the road against Carolina, who, like we said, is amazing in pass defense, and I would think has a little, a few wrinkles to slow down the run game, nonetheless, of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think this is really low scoring. I think points are at a premium. I'm going Jaguars to lose this. Panthers to win, 17-14. Really close football game. I think I see like a field goal somewhere, 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to kind of win the game for Kyle Allen and company.
You really like threading the needle, taking the favorite straight up, but then picking the underdog to cover.
I don't mean to do that, as I've told you before. Maybe I have to start looking at lines. I sat down last night and really went through these games, and I'm hoping to put up. I didn't know I was even as bad as 4-11. I just knew I was bad last week. So I'm going to be disappointed if I'm like with another horrible record here this week, because I put some time and thought into this yesterday afternoon and last night.
So what you're saying is, in every other week this year, you've put no time or thought into it
whatsoever. Well, I won't lie that I'm a little bit where I just kind of look at the games and have a good feel of, oh, I think this team's going to win, and then I just throw down a score. Like last night, I looked at like some stats and things like that where I went through offensively, defensively, teams they've played already, things that kind of just jumped out to me. So I'm hoping that that makes me better here. I don't know.
But here's the thing. You can find any stat out there that will support whatever it is you want to do in your heart.
That's true.
And then if you want to disregard that stat, you say, well, it's time for a correction.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, you could. I try not to do that stuff, though. I try to stay true to it and not let, like, bias or, oh, I really like this team, or, oh, man, I love this quarterback. I hope he can win. I try to take all of that out of it. I do my best always to just make a rash decision.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Yes.
Gut feeling drives so much of this. I wanted to take the Buccaneers to beat the Rams last week.
Right.
I was ready to take the Buccaneers to beat the Rams. And then I looked and I saw that in 2017, Sean McVay's first year with the Rams and Bruce Arians' last year with the Cardinals, the Rams swept the Cardinals. So I thought, okay, it'll continue. The Rams will beat the Buccaneers. I did pick the Bucs to cover at least.
Yes.
But it's just you can find some stupid little factoid that causes you to deviate from your gut feeling. And I just think that because of all that we absorb, either directly or through osmosis about the NFL, because you and I are both locked in it almost all the time, although you do the little detour for college football 6 times a year, I just feel like I need to trust my gut. Because one way or another, the best barometer for what I think is going to happen in a given game is the result of everything that filters into my brain over the course of every day of the year. So, and even then, it's impossible to do a good job.
No, I mean, anyway, it is. Right. It is. That's the difficult thing. And then I'm even worse, too, just to go off of that, because I'm so in the weeds with my, watching film and X's and O's. Sometimes I overthink things, and I get into matchups where then I watch Sunday and I go, why did I really think that matchup was going to dictate the football game? How come I just didn't pick this team with this quarterback and say he's better than the other team with their quarterback? So sometimes it is that simple. All right. Talk about a not great game. Arizona Cardinals at the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, the winless games, winless teams here, 0-3-1 versus 0-4. Bengals favored by 3 at home, Mike, 47.5. I'm picking the Cardinals to win this game, okay? I don't know why. I wouldn't bet on this game or anything. I just look at I'm really putting my faith here in Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, that they'll make a few more plays against the Cincinnati Bengals team that had a short week that's just not very good, does not have a lot of offensive creativity. Their offensive line stinks. I have a lot of issues with the Bengals, and I have no other answer here other than I'm just going with Kyler Murray to make a few plays, and I think Arizona is going to play them tough on the road. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's a lot of X's and O's into my decision with this one.
Yeah, and look, I feel the same way. The Bengals have had a couple of good games this year that they lost at Seattle, at Buffalo. They kind of got blown off the field by the 49ers and by the Steelers. I just feel like the Bengals weren't ready to match the intensity of the Steelers on Monday Night Football. And the Cardinals, I just feel like it's not working.
No.
And they have to prove to me that it's going to work before I can rely on them to actually win a game. So This one is just gut feel. The Bengals are more due to win than the Cardinals are due to win. And frankly, the Bengals don't have a lot of opportunities to win games this year. If they're going to win any, they got to beat these teams like the Cardinals. Now they will get opportunities at other bad teams, but this may be one of the worst teams they play. And if they can't get this win, then they're ultimately going to have like 500 people showing up for their games.
Yeah, well, I mean.
So I like the Bengals.
Yeah, okay. What kind of score are you picking? Like, what would you take? Because I'm going Cardinals 27-24.
I got 21-17 Bengals, which means I like the Bengals straight up and against the spread.
Okay, 21-17 Bengals. Yeah, I don't trust either one of these. I'm really just taking, I think, two guys that I think got bigger balls than two other guys. That's what I went down to. I think Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray's balls are bigger than Andy Dalton and Zach Taylor. That's where basically where I'm going with it. And I'd rather go down with a loss picking those two than the other two right now, who showed like, oh, we're getting dominated at Pittsburgh. No big deal. We'll never get mad. We'll just sit here and continue to walk up and down the field and just act like, oh, we're trying to act like, I don't know. They have no emotion in Cincinnati. I just can't get behind it. So that's really the only reason.
But here's the thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I think if we had any of the Cardinals games except for week one in prime time and were able to watch it closely, you may feel the same way about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yes.
The Bengals, and I think that's why the line is only Bengals -3 for this one. I think it would be Bengals -7 if Monday night's game wasn't in prime time and we all didn't get to see how pathetic they looked, but they can flip it around because they were competitive against the Bills. They were competitive against the Seahawks. And I think that counts for something given that both of those teams are 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Cause I don't really feel like talking about that one anymore. All right. Falcons at Texans. Okay. Both teams coming off losses. Texans favored by 5. Over under at 49. Falcons are in desperation zone here. They're 1-3. Texans, of course, are 2-2. You lead it off, Mike. Tell me what you got.
Yeah, look, the Falcons have a collection of high-priced players, but they aren't playing together like a team, whether it's Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, whatever the case may be. The Falcons just feel like they are inching closer and closer toward Arthur Blank pressing the reset button, and the question becomes, will Dan Quinn make it to the end of the season, or will he be let go during the season? And if they don't turn it around quickly, I think he will be let go during the season. The problem is Bill O'Brien may be in a similar kind of a mindset here where 2-2, and maybe they should have lost or definitely should have lost to the Jaguars, but for the unavailability of a camera angle that would have shown Leonard Fournette crossing the plane of the goal line with the football for the two-point conversion that would have beaten the Texans. I think there's a more realistic sense that the Texans have a chance and they're at home. And if Deshaun Watson can get rid of the football a little faster, and you know DeAndre Hopkins hasn't done all that much this year, maybe he can step up and have a bigger game. I feel like the Texans should win this game. I feel like they will win this game just because I don't have any faith in the Falcons at this point. They should be 0-4. They should have lost to the Eagles on that Sunday night week two when the Eagles were very depleted and almost still beat them. So I got Texans 20, Falcons 14.
Yeah, okay. I see the game very similar to you. I think this is the big thing. The Texans' pass defense is not very good. That does scare me. I mean, you talked about it. I mean, Atlanta, they got high-priced talent, and they got some offensive explosion that way as far as throwing the football. Texans' pass defense stinks, okay? Atlanta has moved the ball in just about every game. Even last week, moved the ball, but they can't convert third and ones. They can't convert fourth and ones. You know, it's a missed field goal. It's dumb interceptions in the red zone. It's all of those things. Now, Atlanta on offense can't run the ball either. So that'll allow the Texans to say, ooh, okay, we're not very good at pass. We can err on let's help our pass defense out a little bit, okay? Now, the flip side to me, the Houston Texans offense at base level is unimaginative, very basic. You talked about, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins not really getting going. That pass game in general does not get going. It's too predictable. So that's the first issue, let alone having some offensive line issues. Falcons D plays good. They're a good defense. I mean, when you look at the Atlanta Falcons, they're number 9 in football right now as far as total defense is concerned. And I was a little surprised by that. Their big thing is when you get close, I feel like they let teams score touchdowns. They don't hold teams to field goal. It's scoring defense that bothers me with them. It's scoring offense that bothers me with them. They're great at going from the 20 to the next 20, but will they actually get in the end zone is really the big question. And because of that, and because it's at home, and because the Falcons don't do a lot on defense, and they kind of just go, this is what we do, here it is, I think that'll help out a Texans offense that's unimaginative. They don't need to have great imagination against this team this week. I think the Texans win a really close one here. I'm going to say 21-20. I don't trust either team, but I think you're going to get a last-ditch total desperation effort from the Atlanta Falcons.
So what you're saying is threading the needle again. You got the Texans straight up and the Falcons covering.
Yes, I do. That is correct.
Okay. All right. That's all we need to say about that game. That's you know, there's some good games this weekend, and there's some not good games, and we just talked about two not good games in a row.
Yeah, I got you. Now, here's a good one. Buccaneers at Saints. Saints at home, favored by 3, okay? Over, under, 46.5, all right? I'm just going to lead this one off, Mike, okay, if you don't mind. The one thing, okay, that really is phenomenal about the Saints and what I saw last week, Mike, on film, okay? The Saints, their defensive line is phenomenal, first off. You're not going to run the ball between the tackles. And the Buccaneers, they run the ball only just to run the ball so they can pass the ball. They all stay patient with the run game, but it's really to set up pass and continue to be able to throw the ball and be aggressive that way. The Saints last week, Mike, played some coverages and did some things on the defensive side versus the Dallas Cowboys that were really encouraging to me. A lot of zones, game plan specific type zones to take this and that away. I really liked it. I've been worried about the Saints because they're a little too aggressive and play too much man-to-man on the defensive side of the ball. So that's a good thing. Now, the thing is there, just as far as the Saints defense, which I like, the Bucs have a good O-line and, of course, have a lot of creative ways, whether it's man or zone, to throw the football. So I like that aspect of it. All right? So there, I do think the Bucs are going to be able to move the ball a little bit on this Saints defense. Now, the other side, I'm just going to say the Buccaneers, that front four is phenomenal. They can cause a lot of havoc. But the New Orleans Saints offensive line is still one of the better units in all of football. And on the back end there in Tampa, I don't trust their secondary. They let up a lot of big plays. They take too many chances on that side of the ball. And because of that, I think this is a really exciting game, Mike, but I'm going to go Saints winning this 24-21, a late field goal, something like that, that gives them the victory. And as I can see now, that is a push.
That is a push, and I am not going to go push. I'm going to go Saints 27-20. And look, I could have gone either way on this one, and I thought, based upon how the Buccaneers played last week, maybe they do go into the Superdome and win again. Remember last year it was week one. Ryan Fitzpatrick was total Fitzmagic, hitting DeSean Jackson and stunning the Saints. But I think the Saints are finding their groove with Teddy Bridgewater. I think it stays close because of the Buccaneers defense. They may not have Shaq Barrett. He didn't practice on Wednesday with a groin injury. He was listed with a groin injury a couple of weeks ago. Wasn't on the injury report last week, so that's something to watch. But even then, you know, the Saints offensive line did allow Teddy Bridgewater to get banged around a little bit, but I still like what the Saints will be able to do offensively. I think that people underrate Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe they don't expect him to be as good as he ultimately is. The Sean Payton factor has been overlooked in all of this. He's coached the team very well in 2 weeks without Drew Brees. And that Drew Brees thumb is healing faster than we ever thought, because as they keep racking up wins without him, we continue to wonder about a future without him in New Orleans. And maybe the future won't be so bleak as we thought it might have been. So I think the Saints win this one 27-20. The home team gets the edge here, even though that kind of goes out the window in the NFC South. I still like the Saints. No E to W for Jameis Winston in the Superdome this time. Saints win, and they move to 4-1, which is incredible when you consider it'll be three games without Brees.
Yeah, that it is incredible. But it, as we know, and as I keep trying to tell everybody, it's not all about the quarterback. The team matters. The coach matters. And when you have a coach who goes, oh, we're missing something at the quarterback position, he goes, oh, well, let me play to other strengths on my football team. And he's done that, Sean Payton, really well. And that's why he is one of the great coaches in football. All right. We got the Pat Shurmur Bowl, baby. It's Mike Florio and Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings, going to the New York Giants. to play Pat Shurmur. It's not prime time, so you're good there with Kirk Cousins. Okay. Here we got Vikings at Giants. Vikings favored by 5.5, over under at 43.5. I'll let you lead this off since you're a huge Vikings fan and this is your squad and you bleed purple. Go ahead.
No, I don't.
You bleed purple. Deal with it.
I feel like I felt 2 weeks ago going into the Raiders game that this is a game the Vikings should win. I've got the Vikings 23-13, but if it's close, they'll lose it straight up. And my fear is that Kirk Cousins is going to be so caught up in his thoughts about how he should play and processing the reads and getting the ball to Adam Thielen, or he's going to call him out again, and then Cousins is going to have to apologize to him, or Stephon Diggs, who seems to be salty, and that trade talk has really started to bubble up, even though the Vikings say they have no plans to trade him, reportedly. Of course, it was 6 years ago that they had no intent to trade Percy Harvin, and then they did. I just feel like this is a game where the Vikings will be able to run. The Adam Thielen critique from Sunday was, when we can't gain 180 yards rushing, we need to be able to throw. This is going to be one of those days where they can gain 180 yards rushing and they don't have to worry about Kirk Cousins. So, despite Cousins, they win 23-13 because I am betting on Dalvin Cook or Alexander Mattison being able to run the football against the New York Giants.
Wow, okay, there you go. All right. So, what'd you say? What was yours?
23-13. Lots of field goals in this game.
Lots of field goals in this game. All right. I think this game's going to be a little closer than that. I do. Okay. First off, since Daniel Jones has taken over, I mean, as we can see, there's an improvement to the offense. There's no doubt. I mean, running the ball more effectively, throwing the ball down the field for big plays more effectively. And that is the Daniel Jones factor, let alone Pat Shurmur is really good as far as designing run plays and doing things like that on a weekly basis to get that run game going. So I look at that and go, okay, the Giants can throw a balanced attack at this Minnesota defense, which is still one of the best units in all of football. I mean, they really are. The Minnesota Vikings defense played good last week. You know, just the offense has to help it out a little bit. I mean, that was a disaster last week on that side of the ball. I think the big thing ultimately, though, is the Giants' pass defense stinking so much, okay? And the fact that, like you said, the Vikings can run the ball, I think the Giants are going to be very scared of that running attack and Dalvin Cook. And I just think it's going to leave them a little bit more vulnerable on the back end because of that this week. And I think that Cousins and Diggs and Thielen and just the scrutiny around the Vikings will lend them to maybe open up the offense in the pass game a little bit. Maybe they're going to finally realize the criticism and that they got to look in the mirror themselves as offensive play callers and play designers. They need to do a little more on that side of the ball as well. I'm not trying to make excuses for Kirk Cousins. He certainly could have played better. But I think the Vikings win this football game. But I think this is close. I'm going 20-17 Vikings. All right. I just think that Pat Shurmur, you know, he saw this defense in practice on a daily basis. I think he'll have a few creative ways to attack Mike Zimmer that'll just keep the game closer in general. But I still think the Vikings pull it out because they're the better football team. I'm going 20-17 Vikings.
And let me just echo that point you made at the end. Pat Shurmur knows the Zimmer defense, which is not really scheme-based per game plan, team by team.
Right.
The defense is what it is.
It is what
so
it is,
you
right,
can
Mike.
Come up with something specific to beat it.
You can.
That's what teams like the Saints do. That's what the Eagles did in the NFC Championship game. And when you rely on 11 great athletes doing the same thing all the time, there are holes in that. And teams can find them and exploit them. And that's my concern
yep.
that Pat Shurmur is going to be able to do it. And again, if it's close, the Giants are going to win. So you're trying to thread the needle again. I would encourage you, if you think it's going to be a three-point game, pick the Giants to win. But I think that just raw brute force of the running game will be enough to deliver the victory for Minnesota.
Yeah, it might be because, at the very least, as long as they stay with that running game, Mike, I mean, it's going to make the Giants have to play that. And as we know, I mean, Janoris Jenkins had a good game last week, but come on, that was the Redskins without Terry McLaurin and a Dwayne Haskins who was not good and a Case Keenum who was also not good. That's why he got benched. So, yeah, I'm interested. It's actually kind of one of the under-the-radar. It's not the sexy game in football this weekend, but I will be tuned into that. Okay, We're going over to London. You sound like you're from London. Okay, we're going to Big Ben.
That is really bad. I'm glad you're not doing that on a regular show because you would offend all of our viewers on Sky Sports in the UK and in Ireland.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Well, I'm making fun of the movie, and I can't remember what it is, but he's like, you sound like you're from London, and I can't remember what it is. So it wasn't right, like, yeah.
So you're intentionally doing
forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think you're right. Exactly right. Or it might be the other one. Somebody got in my ear. Kristen got in my ear. It might be the other one where, what's his name in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the main actor who's crazy? The comedian.
Russell Brand?
Russell Brand, right? There's a movie where he's a big rock star, and the
Get him to the Greek.
That's it. Right.
All right.
That's where
let's
I feel.
Let's get to the next game.
All right. You sound like you're from London. Okay. Bears, Raiders, John Gruden, Khalil Mack. I think they should have to fight at midfield before the game. I would love to see that, actually.
Oh, God. Well, no. Because then they could bury John Gruden, Jimmy Hoffa style, under the end zone.
You're right. Keep him as a midfield emblem while he's over there because Khalil Mack implanted him in the ground. All right. Bears favored by 5, over under at 40.5, Michael. Go ahead. Why don't you lead it off?
Yeah, look, the Chicago Bears have shown us that they are an elite team and that they are a force to be reckoned with in the NFC because of their defense. I'm not worried about Chase Daniel playing quarterback in place of Mitchell Trubisky. And look, the Raiders had a surprisingly strong showing last week, to your chagrin, because you made the Colts one of your bets. They went in there, the Raiders did, and won the game by 14 points. I don't see them continuing that. I think the Bears are too good defensively, and they're going to rough up Derek Carr. And I think if you hit Derek Carr early and often, I mean, Khalil Mack's going to know what it takes to break Derek Carr, and they will break Derek Carr early. And I've got 24-10 as the final score of this one. And I think that may even be more charitable for the Raiders than I should be. It may be 24-7 or 24-3, but I'll go 24-10 Bears over the Raiders.
Yeah, I worry about the Raiders offense versus that Bears defense. I do. You know, John Gruden, there's only so much you can scheme, and that's what he did last week, especially early on in that game against the Colts. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead because of John Gruden and his ability to put, you know, some good plays together to start a game. I don't think that's going to happen against the Bears. The Raiders, with a lack of downfield passing attack, that's scary against the Bears too. When they don't have to worry about anything behind them and they can play that style of football, they are tough to beat. They're tough to beat even if you have a great offense. So that worries me. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, the Raiders, the one thing I'll give John Gruden and the Raiders, they might not be real talented on the defensive side of the ball, but they play hard. They're pretty physical. They definitely were better at stopping the run last week in Indianapolis than I expected them to be against the great blue wall of the Indianapolis Colts. So that was, you know, intriguing. And the Bears offense is certainly nothing to write home about. But I think the Bears offense and Matt Nagy will be better this week because, really, you know, I've been a staunch defender of Mitchell Trubisky. I just I'm not sure when they're not going to be better with Chase Daniel. The way Mitchell Trubisky has looked early on this year, it's just been ugly. There's nothing else I can really say to it. And maybe Matt Nagy finally get able to run his full scope of plays and offense, and Chase Daniel's going to have a better showing than what he did last year. I go Bears winning 20-13, and I'm with you. I'm not so sure. It might not be 27-10, 24-10, something like that. But I gave the Raiders a fighting chance, Bears winning by 7.
I feel like 10 points is too much for the Raiders. I may have to revise it to 24-7. I'm going to go 24-7.
You're going to go 24-7?
Yeah, not that it really matters to anyone but me, but 24-7.
Yep, okay. All right, cool. All right, here we go. Jets-Eagles. All right, Jets coming off the bye. All right, going to Philadelphia. Eagles have the long week to prepare, too, because they played on Thursday night. They are favored by 13.5 points. The over-under's at 43.5. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know whether or not Sam Darnold's going to play. He's pushing to play. I'll be surprised if he does, and I don't think it's really going to matter. The Eagles at 2-2, they could be 4-0. They lost a close one in Atlanta. They lost a close one at home to the Lions. They were without both DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey for both of those games. Jeffrey's back. They rediscovered their running game last Thursday night against the Packers, and I think they come out of that game with a lot of confidence. You know, a win like that in a big spot, prime time, Lambeau Field, send the Packers from 3-0 to 3-1. That's one of those games where you start to get your swagger. You start to get into your groove. And the Jets, they got plenty of confidence, but it borders on delusion. They've yet to show us that they can do anything other than build a lead that they blew against the Bills. I think this is Eagles 27-14, and I picked that score without knowing that the spread is 13.5.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm picking the Jets to cover
right.
by a hair. You know what? Just to be safe, I'm going to make it 28-14 because I don't have enough faith in the Jets to cover.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go Eagles as well. Of course, I'm going to go Eagles 27-20. Okay. I'm picking it a little closer. I'm going to say Sam Darnold plays. Okay. I think they're desperate. He realizes they're desperate. And if he's anywhere close to being able to go, I think he goes this week for the Jets.
But here's the thing. The guy's had mono for like 3 weeks.
I know. Right.
And it's one thing to say he's healthy enough to practice and he's healthy enough to do this.
Right.
And he's healthy enough to do that.
Right.
But it's a higher level of intensity.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
When you're in a game and you have to get like completely locked in and focused and you have to be really, really sharp. And he may realize that even though he feels good under normal conditions, you throw him into that meat grinder and he's not going to feel as good.
Yeah, that could be a very real possibility. I wouldn't bet on this game. I definitely wouldn't. This is just what scares me. Eagles are clearly the better team. We know that. You hit all the reasons. There's no doubt about it. The Jets have been a disaster, okay? They had a bye week, so I think Adam Gase is going to have a few tricks up his sleeve as far as just creative things to do against this Eagles defense. And the biggest reason that I think that maybe the Jets can score a few points more than you know, maybe I would normally expect, the Eagles secondaries beat the shit, and that just scares me. I mean, when you're signing Orlando Scandrick, who has been like burnt more than toast over the last 2 years with the teams he's been on, that just tells you the state of their secondary. And with no Avante Maddox and Sidney Jones bothered by injuries and Ronald Darby still not being there, I just worry about that aspect where I think Gase and Darnold, as I say, I think he's playing, will have a few plays here or there because of just lack of talent on that end to where they score a few more points than we would normally think. And that's why I go Eagles 27-20.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. You know,
I made some
so
good points.
So you're threading
there.
The needle again. I get nervous for you. You're threading the needle.
I know.
You need to be more certain in your convictions.
Okay. Well, I'm going Eagles winning the game, but yes, I guess I think the Jets will cover the spread. Here we go. Ravens, Steelers. I'm excited for this, especially with the way the Steelers played the other night and this new formula on offense. I mean, they basically took like the Baltimore Ravens formula almost to a degree a little bit. But Ravens going to Pittsburgh. Ravens favored by 3.5, over under at 44. What do you want to do, Mike? You want me to lead it off?
I'm going to echo exactly what I said on the show yesterday about Lamar Jackson facing the Steelers defense. He has yet to face the Steelers defense. And the Steelers defense is still founded on a degree of physicality that few teams can match. And Mike Tomlin will have those guys ready to pound the crap out of Lamar Jackson to prove to the Ravens that this much-hyped experiment with Lamar Jackson being a dual-threat runner and passer is going to blow up in their faces, because twice per year, he's going to have to face the steel curtain. And I go back to 2012 and what they did with RG3. And Ryan Clark has since said this is what the game plan was. Beat the crap out of RG3. So anytime they have a legitimate shot at Lamar Jackson, they're going to take it. And look, I know that he's extremely agile. He's hard to catch. But I think the Steelers' defense is good enough that somebody is going to give him the kind of shot that makes him think twice about running, turns him one-dimensional, forces him to pass the football, and that's when the Steelers can slow them down. And I see a 3.5-point spread here. Look, if the Ravens win this game, they're not winning by more than a field goal. I see like 16-14, 16-13 if the Ravens win.
I agree with that.
The Steelers to win by a field goal, 17-14.
Wow.
And if the Browns stumble on Monday night, you're going to have Steelers, Browns, Ravens all at 2-3 at the top of the AFC North, with the Bengals possibly at 1-4 saying, hey, we're not out of it.
Wow. Okay, baby doll. I like it there. So you got the upset. You got Pittsburgh winning this football game. I'm with you with this. I do think the game will be incredibly close, okay? The one thing I worry about with the Steelers, though, in general, I still worry about their defense, okay? Their front seven, yes, it's talented. I get that. All those things are there to like. But they are playing an offense in Baltimore that can do everything, okay? That's, you know, they can run it and throw it. And the Steelers, because of some of the creative blitzes they do and stuff, they can be gashed in the run game at times. And that scares me a little too. I mean, the Steelers are letting up 122 yards a game right now rushing the football. And I don't know where that ranks, but I'll tell you real quick as I just sit here. That's 22nd in football. That's not Steeler football. That scares me a little bit, okay? And then the other thing that I look at and I go, okay, the Steelers offense versus the Ravens defense. The Ravens are not very good at pass defense either. The problem is, Pittsburgh's pass offense ain't that good either. I don't think they can necessarily capitalize on some of the things that other teams can capitalize against the Baltimore Ravens. So that scares me a little bit overall, and that's why I'm going to go like the opposite of you. I think the Ravens win a close football game, 20-17 on the road. I just think they're a little bit more complete and well-rounded than the Steelers. Steelers, I'm excited to see this offense, but I just can't pick them yet. I got to see one more game of it against somebody other than the Cincinnati Bengals.
You have threaded the needle five times so far. Five times.
I mean, I tells you, maybe I should be a bookie. That's what, instead of betting on these games, maybe I should be a line setter. Because that's really, I'm telling you, when I pick these games and then I look at the spread, I told Matt Casey as I was walking in here today, I was like, man, I don't feel good about betting any of these. I felt like the spreads were spot on. After I picked the games, I looked at them. I said, nothing like jumped out crazy to me. All right. Let's go. We got to keep it going. We got, like, Roto World wants this studio after this. Fuck those guys. So we got to hurry up.
All right. Well, if that's your attitude, let's just keep going. That's, yeah, knocking down the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And Adam Thielen joining me today on the joint PFTPM Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. All right.
Yep.
What's next?
All right. Here we go. We got Bills Titans, okay? Buffalo Bills at the Tennessee Titans. Titans get that big win last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Bills lose a really close, good football game against the New England Patriots. Bills on the road in Tennessee. Titans favored by 3. Over under at 38.5. I can't imagine a lot of points being scored in this one. What say you, the Florio of Mikes?
Well, look, this is one of those games that will either prove or disprove my theory about the Tennessee Titans. And so far this year, my theory about the Tennessee Titans has been proven.
They win
the games they're supposed to lose,
right,
and they lose the games they're supposed to win. So they're favored in this game, coming off of the 14-point victory over the Falcons when they were the underdogs. So the Titans are the favorites. The Titans are going to lose. The Buffalo Bills are going to go into Nashville, and they're going to beat Tennessee. And then the next time the Titans are underdogs, they're going to win. And then the next time they're the favorites, they're going to lose. And that's the Tennessee Titans so far.
So you're telling me they're going to be 9-7 at the end of the year is what you're saying.
Or 8-8. I mean, I don't know. Right. It all depends upon how many games they're playing that they're supposed to lose. That's how many they're going to win. Okay. Here's the thing. I'm picking the Bills to win this one 22-16. Do you know why I'm selecting the score 22-16? The very unconventional score of 22-16.
No, I don't. Why?
That was the final score of the Music City Miracle game 19 years ago.
I actually thought of that, but I wasn't sure. Okay. I see you. All right. So points will be at a premium. I can't imagine Tennessee's offense. You know, everyone's going to go, Marcus Mariota was better last week. Well, we talked about the Falcons already. The Falcons, like, they don't do anything on defense, okay? Their secondary is not that great. And Tennessee, because of that, capitalized, and Marcus Mariota played phenomenal football. Now, we did see, as far as the Tennessee Titans, you know, the Titans, I like their defense. They play a little too much man-to-man for me, Mike. That's one thing that scares me a little about them as a football team. Now, they got some good corners, don't get me wrong. I just think they dabble in man-to-man a hair too much. And because of that, and because the Bills played a similar type defense last week with the New England Patriots, and of course this is Vrabel and Dean Pease, who have New England DNA in their coaching history, I think that favors the Bills a little bit, and I still think this Bills defense is arguably the best in football. I mean, they don't need to blitz. Their front four can do it all by themselves, run game, pass game. They arguably have the best linebacking duo in football. They're up there in the conversation, and Sean McDermott's one of the best defensive minds in the sport, too. And with man-to-man, I think Josh Allen, okay, he'll rebound and play it tighter this week if he plays. If not, it's Matt Barkley. I just think they'll have more man-to-man beaters in their game plan than they did last week in general. I think it's a field goal fest type of football game. I'm picking the Bills to win 15-13, like a late field goal to win the football game. But that's how I see it playing out.
You know, I'd have even more faith in the Bills if they had Josh Allen. I know that this is the Matt Barkley show, but still, this is the game the Titans are supposed to win, and this is the game they lose, and we'll see if that trend continues.
Yeah, we will. You're right. I mean, and you're spot on about that crap. You really are. You're pretty damn good at it. All right, Patriots, Redskins. Okay, Patriots favored by 15. They're on the road in Washington. Let's not make this long. We know we're both picking the Patriots. Do you have them covering the spread or not?
I have them easily covering the spread, 38-17. I think the only reason the spread isn't bigger is because the Patriots struggled with the Bills last week. The Bills are not Washington.
No.
Washington is in disarray, and this may be the dagger game for Jay Gruden. He's in that territory where any given week may be his last week. It just depends upon what Daniel Snyder and or Bruce Allen decide to do about putting Jay Gruden out of his misery, because at this point you're probably doing him a favor if you let him out of that mess in Washington. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be because Gruden doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter. The Patriots are going to smother Washington, and their offense is still good enough to score more than the 15 points necessary to overcome. And at 38-17, I think 17 is too much for Washington, but I'll stick 38-17.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I tend to be nice to these teams as well. And I honestly, at first, when I first picked this game, I had the Pats like going like 31-14, and then I was like, yeah, that's too nice. And I went 38-14. I think the Pats do win the football game. The Pats defense is amazing. This is not an overly complicated offense by the Washington Redskins. The Pats will be able to play man-to-man and shut them down that way. They'll be able to cause pressure, whatever it may be. And then, of course, we know the Redskins defense is just not very good. They can't play man-to-man. They're not good at man-to-man. The Patriots can run and throw the ball effectively. And as much as I like Greg Minuski, he just doesn't have the players in the back end to stop or slow down some of these high-powered offense like the New England Patriots. So I'm with you all the way there. I go Patriots 38-14 in that one. And yes, it does not look good down in Washington. All right. That's it for the 1 o'clock games. Let's get to the 4 o'clock games. All right. We got the Broncos at Chargers. Chargers favored by 6.5. All right. At home, over under at 44.5. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I like the Chargers in this one. I know that they are the kings of the close games. This should not be a close game. The Broncos are in the process of falling apart, although they could have won two of their home games. I just think that once you break a team's spirit, it just makes it so hard to get it together and go on the road and try to pull off a victory. I mean, they're not going to go 0-16, but they are going to have a losing record. And the Chargers at 2-2, they could go either way. This is the kind of game they have to win if they have any aspiration to get back to the postseason. So I like the Chargers in this one, 30-17. We should see plenty of Melvin Gordon this week now that he's been back for a full week from his extended holdout. And I think that only helps the Chargers become more likely to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so I think the Broncos are the Chargers are going to win this football game too, 24-20. But here's some things that jump out to me. First off, this Broncos defense is still a good unit. Okay, they do have pride. Vic Fangio is still trying to find his first win out there. So I don't think that the Chargers are just going to go up and down the field on the Denver Broncos. I'd be shocked if the Chargers could run the ball to the same effect that the Jacksonville Jaguars did last week. I would think that's something that gets fixed in Denver this week. You know, Vic Fangio, he is still trying to find the right people. He doesn't have the personnel to play his 3-4 defense quite yet, so he's kind of having to reinvent himself that way. But the Broncos' pass defense is still tough, and we know they still have a pretty good pass rush, even though they don't have Bradley Chubb. They still got one of the best in the business in Von Miller. The only thing I'll say on the other side, just to get over this game, the Broncos played this defense last week with the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? It's the same defensive scheme. So I look at it that way, and, you know, I don't know. I err on the team that got to play that scheme usually more than the team, like the defense of the Chargers, because I think that the Broncos will come back and go, ooh, we should have done this or we should have done that. We could have done these things to expose that scheme. And because it's the same scheme and they're seeing it for the second week in a row, I think they'll be able to do some things there and just keep it somewhat close. Chargers win 24-20, but I think the Broncos kind of are a pain in the butt in the football game and stay right there.
Once again, the attempt to thread the needle. Now, there's no guarantee you're going to thread any of these needles, no. But you're at least going to try plenty of times on Sunday.
No, but I do feel good about, like, this week of my bets of the week, where I feel confident about it, and I know we'll get there in a second, but we got still three more games to go. All right, here's the headliner of the week. We got three really good games left to talk about. This might be the best of the bunch here. Packers at Cowboys, 425, big game on Fox. You know it'll be Buck and Troy Aikman. Cowboys favored by 3.5, over under at 46.5. Lead it off, Mike.
I like the Cowboys in this one. I'll get right to it. The Davante Adams injury has me concerned. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers will be able to move the offense effectively without Adams there, either to catch footballs or draw attention away from the other guys. I don't think the other guys, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Jimmy Graham et al., I don't think they're going to be good enough to match what the Cowboys are going to do. And the Cowboys are going to be extra salty after last Sunday night when they lost a game that maybe they could have won, should have won in New Orleans. And the Cowboys wanting to keep some separation from the Eagles, who are not all that far behind now. How quickly it changes in 1 week,
yep,
where you feel like you've got a team down and out. They beat the Packers in a big spot, and then you lose to the Saints in a big spot. The pressure's on you now to beat the Packers. So if the Eagles can beat the Packers at Lambeau Field, the Cowboys have to be thinking, we have to take care of these guys at home. And I think the Cowboys will. I think it will be close. It's a 3.5-point spread. I got Cowboys 28-23, so I'm picking them to cover reluctantly. It could be 28-27, 27-24, but I'm going 28-23. Cowboys cover by a little bit, but more importantly, Cowboys win.
Yep. Okay, I'm very close to you. I'm picking the Cowboys to cover as well, just narrowly. 28-24. I got the Cowboys winning the football game. Real quick, the Cowboys defense is phenomenal. It still is. I don't care that they lost last week or whatever. I mean, it's a great defense.
They didn't give up a touchdown.
That's what I mean. There's no weakness to that football team, and they gave the short field on the Zeke Elliott fumble and the Jason Witten fumble too, and you got to remember that too. So there's no weakness to them, and you're exactly right. No Davante Adams, that's really fucking scary for Green Bay. Okay, it really is. And Green Bay's offense, you know, it's still a work in progress. That was a good matchup for them last week with the Eagles. And the Eagles, of course, having the secondary issues and things like that. And I think you just got Rodgers and Davante Adams in a hot night, too, that just accentuated it a little bit more. On the other side of the ball, you know, the Cowboys offense versus the Packers defense, I like the Packers defense. What we saw on the run defense last week is a little scary. What we've seen from their run defense all year, you know, we've had moments of scary, right? Whether it be the Vikings and Dalvin Cook having a good day, that was a little scary. And, of course, last week. And I do think that the Packers play a little too much man-to-man, Mike, and that's not good against the weaponry that the Dallas Cowboys have. I'm picking Cowboys 28-24, and I'm really only picking it to be 28-24 because of Aaron Rodgers, and I'm putting faith that he'll make some – you know, damnedest plays we've seen to keep it close, but they're really going to be outplayed as a football team in general.
Just like that Jared Cook throw in the playoffs a couple of years ago that won the game, but I don't think the Packers are as good now relative to the Cowboys as they were then. So we're on the same page about that one, yep, the game of the afternoon. But then the game of the night, the Sunday Night Football contest, the one that looked like it was going to dip
right
to something that we really didn't want after Andrew Luck retired, but then Jacoby Brissett has played well in this rematch of the divisional playoff game. Chris, it's looking pretty intriguing to me, and I'll start it off.
Yeah, go.
I still like the Chiefs. The Chiefs, I think, are unstoppable. I've got it 35-20. I'm down on the Colts after what happened last week. Isn't it funny how when you put a ton of faith in a team and they lose, you get pissed off at them?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of pissed off at the Colts this week because that was one of those, you know, there's a certain number of games that you are worried about, and you really don't know, and you go back and forth. And then there's that handful of games that you think every week, these are easy.
Yeah.
The Colts were in the this is easy last week, and they blew it. So I'm kind of pissed at them now. So that makes me even more likely to take the Chiefs, 35-20.
Yep, okay. I see it a similar way you do. I think the first thing that scares me about the matchup, and I'm taking Chiefs to win 38-27, okay? The biggest thing that does scare me is the Colts defense. Colts defense is good, but it's got nothing great about it. Not a great pass rush, not a great secondary. Scheme is solid and they're sound, but I don't go, oh gosh, they're going to confuse Patrick Mahomes and company and Andy Reid and they won't know what to do. You don't have to worry about them playing man-to-man and going, ooh, they can lock the Kansas City Chiefs up a little bit and stop them that way. No, they're not that type of football team. So I do worry about the Colts' ability to stop the Chiefs' offense. Now, on the other side of the ball, I worry a little bit about the Chiefs' defense. I mean, we should. We saw last week. I mean, you can move the ball on them. You can run the ball on them. And that is where it gets a little scary to me. I get scared that the big blue wall, you know, we're going to build a wall. It's going to be the greatest wall you've ever seen. Slots.
And it's going to have a moat.
And it's going to have a moat in front of it. So then you can't even get to Quentin Nelson because there's a moat in front of him as he's pulling. It's really tough. But either way, I do worry that the Colts, with their lackluster run performance last week, will get back to it this week and want to protect their defense a little bit and run the ball a lot to try to keep that Chiefs offense off the field. The Chiefs got to get something, Mike. I'll just say this real quick before we move on. They got to stop something. Like last week when I watched the film against the Detroit Lions, at some point you got to go, we're going to put all our eggs into we're going to stop the run, or we're going to put all our eggs into stop the pass, but you can't like not stop either one. And I do think that they got to toy with their front a little bit and maybe just play big boy football this week. Put all defensive tackles in, have three defensive tackles in and Frank Clark to match up against that Colts team, and then go, okay, we got big guys in here to stop the run. And see if you can't do something like that to at least slow them down. But I'm picking Chiefs 38-27. I expect them to win that game.
So you got the push. You got the almost threaded the needle.
You're right.
Almost threaded
the
needle, but you went the push.
I
Chiefs
got the
minus
push.
11.
Yep. All right. Here we go. I think this is an awesome Monday Night Football game. I mean, I'm really excited about this. Browns at 49ers. 49ers favored by 3.5. Okay. I'll just throw out a few things that scare me here. I'll lead it off if you don't mind, Mike.
Go ahead.
49ers 3-0. They're really legit. They are. I think the 49ers are here to stay as far as conversation, as far as one of those teams towards the top of the NFC. I've seen enough to know that. I do get scared a little bit about the 49ers having the bye week. Oh, we're 3-0, and you're, you know, kind of feeling good about yourself. And as we've seen before, teams off a bye week can sometimes get sloppy because, yeah, you had time off. You forget about techniques and things like that. And, you know, you just kind of get out of battle mode until all of a sudden you get in a game again after a bye week. And you're like, whoa, I've been punched in the mouth 5 times. We're playing football today, huh? And I worry about that aspect as compared to a team who's full-fledged in battle mode right now and realizes there's expectations and they got to win football games and things like that. Also, another thing that concerns me, Steve Wilks, defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, he gave Kyle Shanahan and this 49ers offense a lot of problems last year when he was with the Arizona Cardinals. In fact, these were two of his 3 wins last year were against the San Francisco 49ers because his defense is a pain in the butt, his scheme and what he can do to slow down the Shanahan offensive attack. So because of that, okay, and because of the 49ers playing a little bit of that Seattle scheme and giving guys opportunities to throw the ball one-on-one outside, and I think there is a tension. I'm picking the Browns in an upset here. It hurts me to go against my friend Kyle Shanahan here. I don't feel confident in this, but it was one of those games I said, ooh, if there's going to be an upset I'm going to pick this week, this is, I think, the one I'm going to go with. I think the 49ers might be caught sleepwalking a little bit. I'm going to go Browns 23-20.
Well, that's funny because this was the one that I struggled with,
yeah.
And I really don't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Right.
So I did something I've never done before when it comes to picking games. I abdicated my throne to my kid, And I texted him and I said, who do you like Monday night, the Browns or the 49ers? He said, the Browns. Then he said, wait, where are they playing? I said, San Francisco. He said, I still like the Browns. I said, give me a score. He said, 24-17. That's good enough for me. So if he's wrong, it's not my fault. If he's right, it's my pick. Browns win 24-17.
All right. So so that you don't have any thoughts there, but either way.
And here are my thoughts.
Yeah, my thoughts. Go ahead.
For whatever reason,
yep.
The Browns, based on where they are in their current development, look, I just feel like when they play at home, they feel a greater degree of pressure, and I think that's real. I think they feel less pressure when they play on the road.
Yeah, I don't doubt you, Mike. I think there's something to that. I don't. And, Mike, you're an idiot in a lot of ways, okay? But you are great at kind of those kind of things. You feel that way. It is amazing. You have a great gut and feel that way to where I honestly, as I pick games sometimes, I find myself thinking about you and your gut feelings at times going, damn, you know, Mike was kind of right about that. So I hear you. And I kind of have that same gut feeling this week, and I don't know if that's good or not. But
I could see it go either way. And that's why, look, my gut feeling in that spot was to trust my kid and say, what do you think? And his knee-jerk reaction was Browns. And I can see it. I started thinking about it, and I can see it. And then the Browns will go home and they'll lose to somebody they should beat. I mean, that may be the story. It may be that the Browns are basically the Titans this year. Well, they'll win the games they're supposed to lose, and they'll lose the games they're supposed to win. Yep. The only problem is for the Browns, there's more games they're supposed to win.
All right. I like it. Okay. I mean, I really do. I hope I whoop your butt this weekend. Okay. All right. Now we got best bets. Okay. You know, you were 2 out of 3 last week. Best bets on the year. We still both have winning records. We're 5-4. All right. I had 4 games that really jumped out to me. All right. And I know we got to pick 3, but I'm just going to tell you the 4 that jumped out to me, and then I'll pick my 3. You want me to go first? Well, I'm going to go first. Deal with it.
Okay? I thought we'd go back and forth.
Okay, fine. We'll ping pong them off each other. Okay, go. Your first one. Let me hear it.
My first one, the New England Patriots only giving 15 to Washington. Again, as I said earlier, I think the spread is influenced by the fact that the Patriots struggled offensively last week. Washington is a bad, bad team, as evidenced by the fact that a bad team manhandled them last week. So I like the Patriots in a blowout, easily covering the spread.
Okay, that's cool. I'm doing that one as well. So I'm on the bandwagon there. We both got the Patriots. I picked it 38-14, which would equal to 24 points. And you had it, what, 35-17? Or what was
your 38-14. 38-17.
So we're very similar there. All right, Patriots, best bets of the week by both Florio and Sims. Okay, second one of the week. Who you got, Mike?
I got the Seahawks tonight. It's the third straight week with me relying on Seattle as a best bet. I think they beat the Rams and cover the spread at 1.5. I just don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a 22-21 type of a game. And I think the Seahawks are going to win the game for all the reasons we discussed earlier. They're great at home on Thursday nights. They're great at home in prime time with Pete Carroll as the head coach. The Rams had a long, tough, difficult game last weekend against the Buccaneers that took a lot out of them physically, and it's a short week to recover. The Seahawks had essentially another preseason game against the Cardinals. I think the Seahawks win this one and find themselves at 4-1 and right in the mix at the top of the NFC West and maybe making a move for a bye in the postseason.
Okay, all right. I mean, I got the Seahawks covering the spread too, but I don't trust it, and I've been burned on Thursday night, I think, every game this year, so I am certainly not going that way. My second one will be the Bears in London against the Raiders. Bears favored by 5. And London scares me because it's different, you know. It's just a different atmosphere. You are traveling across the Atlantic Ocean, and there's that aspect of it. But I just think this Bears defense is just special. And I don't think this Raiders offense is all that special on that side of the ball. They have problems creating big plays. They're not going to be able to run reverses with Trevor Davis for 60-yard touchdowns and things like that against this Bears defense. And ultimately, hey, the Raiders defense, they play tough. But I just got a feeling that hey, the Bears offense has kind of found its way a little bit here the last 2 weeks, and I'm not so sure. I don't believe that it will improve under Chase Daniel, and I've been a long defender of Mitchell Trubisky. But I picked the Bears to win 20-13, and I was really being kind of kind to the Raiders. I think it could very easily be 27-13. It could be 20-10, 24-10. I just have a hard time thinking the Raiders are going to score a lot of points against this bunch. All right, third game, Mike, who you got?
Okay, for my third one, you know, that's a good question. I had it open, and now I got to go back to it. I forget who it was, so I must not feel all that strongly about it. My third best bet of the week is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whoa.
Thank you very much, Control Room.
Whoa.
The Pittsburgh Steelers over the Baltimore Ravens straight up and covering the spread, although we only have to cover the spread to be right on this one. It's, what, 3.5 points, something like that? If the Ravens win, they're not going to win by more than 3 points. So I like the Steelers to win outright. This is a simple one to me. And, you know, like you, I don't look at the lines until it's time to do this.
Right.
I pick the Steelers to win. I see the Steelers are the underdogs. I feel strongly enough about the Steelers to win to say that's one of the best bets, especially since they're getting 3.5 points.
Oh, baby. I can't believe you're doing that. Ooh, that is just – I don't agree with you on that one. We'll see, okay?
I recall somebody last week saying I was the mayor of Crazyville for thinking the Giants were going to beat Washington.
Yeah, you're right. I did say that. And apparently, yes, I was wrong. Okay. I thought about doing, I'll just say, full transparency, I almost put the Bills in my best bets, but I don't trust whether it's going to be Matt Barkley or not. And even if it is Josh Allen, I don't trust him totally yet either. So I can't make that my best bet. Even though the Titans are favored by 3, I have the Bills winning on the road. I can't go there. So my third best bet of the week will be with the Atlanta Falcons, okay? The Atlanta Falcons on the road are 5-point underdogs to the Houston Texans. I just think 1-3, Atlanta, desperation, not good pass defense by the Houston Texans. I think at the very least, the Atlanta Falcons keep this very close. I picked the Texans to win a 21-20 type football game. I don't think I would be shocked if Atlanta found a way to win this football game in general, but I have a hard time thinking they're going to lose by more than 5 points in this one. That's why I go Falcons there. Those are my three best bets of the week. I got Falcons, I got Patriots, I got Bears for my bets of the week. Florio's also got the Patriots. He's going Seattle tonight in Thursday Night Football, and he's going with Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers attack to upset Baltimore at home. He's picking them to cover the spread and win outright. Okay, I'll be disappointed if I don't do well this week. Like I said, I put thought and time into this, and I'm going to be really pissed off if I screw up.
And I'll tell you what, if you go 4-11 again this week after putting thought and time into it, maybe it's time to not pick games anymore. Yeah. Or, as I said earlier, do the opposite.
I will get hot. I always do. And I will have a run. And you just better hope it doesn't start right now because you're in deep trouble, okay? You'll be dead. D-E-D, dead, okay?
I'm shaking. I'm really shaking.
All right.
Bring it on.
That's it. Always enjoyed it, Mike. You the man. I'll see you here at NBC on Sunday. Anybody can check us out on Pro Football Talk on Monday morning. We will hit everything going on around football. But hope everyone enjoyed our picks podcast, PFT PM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned collaboration. Hey, Florio.
Yeah, I hear you.
Fuck you. I'll see you
Thank
Sunday.
You.
Thank you. All right, we're out. Travel. Fuck you, Florio. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.